The Around the NFL Podcast wants to continue into their 40s.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, some already in their 40s, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, team?
Don't appreciate that opener at all.
Yeah, Colleen, what is it like being in your 40s?
Not there yet. Don't know.
Okay. Oh, so it's Mark. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's Greg, also Wes, by
Greg
the way.
Greg going at Colleen in a big spot. I like it right away.
What? I don't have any makeup on, so are you taking a jab at that?
I was going for the surprise pick.
You stepped in.
We all know Mark. Mark's the old guy.
You are, especially no Wes.
I'm not
today,
playing so it. You're not playing any role in this little bit that you guys have unraveled.
This is the Monday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by New Era. We have so much to unpack today, including all the news from around the league. I think, did the Lions finally report to camp? Are they practicing yet?
I think they're considering
Greg, you know this stuff.
They're in.
Oh my
I believe
God,
they
thankfully.
Showed up on the first day legally allowed, Dan. And yet you continue to go.
At this point, I wouldn't have been surprised if the Lions show up week one, Sunday, like an hour before kickoff. They all just put on their uniforms for the first time. Let's go get them,
guys. It's not a good look for that team, and I don't care about the rules. Like,
area
just
man,
get there earlier.
Area man rages against you can't practice until 2 weeks before your first preseason game rule.
I said my piece. If you really want to take that next step as a franchise, one playoff win in 60 years, go find a park in Auburn Hills, throw the ball around.
Wow.
Do a couple wind sprints on your own time, on your own dime.
Yep. Very much with you.
You feel really strongly about this.
Yeah. I also feel strongly about talking about your weekend, Colleen, which we're going to get to.
Wonderful.
Colleen was at Raiders camp for Inside Training Camp Live on NFL Network and had a interaction with one of the league's most famous players that went viral.
It did.
How about that for a tease?
I like it, Dan.
Are you comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, let's do it. Everybody else is, so we can too.
That's true. We had the issue with Mecole Grimes and Greg shut it down. He said, no.
Oh, we still talked about it.
No fly zone, Greg said.
And we're still talking about it.
You said no fly zone. We spent like 15 minutes on it. You also did an entire segment on the NFL's greatest feuds the day after it happened when I wasn't here.
That was a great segment.
Let's be real.
But remember the clapback diss track we had planned for Lil Debbie? Where she was going to go at Mecole Grimes, and we pulled that. We yanked that out of respect
Get
to you.
Get your act together, bro. You're trash.
I don't know what Colleen's feeling about her interaction was, but it was sort of the opposite of Mecole Grimes.
Right.
The inverse of Mecole Grimes' attitude.
That's a good point.
It's true.
Anyway, we'll get to that. And
thank God.
And then we will open up the mailbag. That gives us our opportunity to interface with the listeners.
Is that what you call it now?
We're so vital, the listenership. And Greeby, I haven't forgotten. We are going to hand out a prize to the 5,000th subreddit subscriber. Now we're heading towards 6,000. I understand that.
Incredible urgency around this prize handout.
But I'm waiting for Mark to kind of come with me with a spark of an idea of what to give them. So it's really on Mark. So
I'm just learning this now, so the planning behind this entire thing is really suspect.
All right, so a lot to talk to. And, of course, it took so long to get to it, but we are the softball C-plus champions of the Los Angeles Recreation League once again.
Yay! Couldn't have done it without me. It was a really tough season. I'm just glad to be a part of it again.
You're going to show up as a fan, at least, for the championship.
Oh, I texted
Yeah, there were whispers about that. What happened?
Mark was there in the dugout. He's not just a fan. He's part of the team.
Mark did a great job in his role as special advisor once again. Colleen, this is kind of a common Colleen trope when you text her sometimes.
What? I did have dinner that night, and I didn't even end up going.
Here it is. Let's see.
Once I'm at my house, it's hard for me to leave.
another excellent excuse. We're all buying it.
To sit there.
I can't find it. The unfortunate autocorrect. I won't bring that up.
Why? That's the no. Come on, you have to.
Should I?
Yes. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I wrote related to the Marshawn Lynch stuff. I wrote. I wanted to write Connie Fox moving up in the world. it auto-corrected to tiny box moving up in the world.
I can't believe Connie Fox auto-corrects to tiny box. Wow.
Well, you know, these things happen. Anyway, we won the title. We swept the playoffs for the second straight year, defeating first the Nooners 14-9 in the semifinals. And then the Flying Sheep, who had beaten us 17-1 7 days earlier, we beat them 19-9 in the finals. It goes to show you what can happen when we have our full complement of players, Greg. And I want to throw it to you because you are a champion now.
It feels good. I know I wasn't the most important part of the team, but I would have felt if you guys had won the year before and then you had lost when I was on the team, I would have felt like I was responsible. I missed out, and that didn't happen, and almost got a little emotional at the end of the game. Dan,
I heard about this.
Gave the game ball to Chris Wesseling, who Wes had a heroic performance.
Oh my goodness!
Fighting through the Big C, of course, certainly sapped of energy. Took himself out of the second game. Was DHing in the first game, but played outstanding and was a huge reason why we
went 3-for-4, I believe, in the first game.
Yeah, and he's still working his way back physically from that game. Just to give you an idea of Wes and. Well, part of how insane Wes is for sports and competitiveness, but also, you know, what a badass Wes is. His paramour was not happy with him for the decision to try to run and take the extra bases. Mm. But try to talk Wes out of anything.
By the end of it, he was driven. Yeah, and by the end of it, he was just lying on the grass after the game to recuperate. But he was also thrilled. I think that I missed last year's due to some childcare scenario that pulled me. I could not watch the game. Your stock is down right now,
straight.
So I would step off.
Settle down, tiny box.
This meant a lot. This really, to watch this, because I remember during the second game thinking like, there was a moment where I thought that things were turning negatively for the team and that it seemed like maybe it was had come to its end. And it's like, there was no negativity. We're just like, this is going to happen.
Well, that's, and Greg stepped in, right? Rosie stepped in with his
Greg
positivity.
Greg was positive throughout the, you
relentlessly
know, yeah.
positive.
It was amazing to watch. And I mean, it's such a weird team because when you were good during the season, you were so good. Yeah. And there were a couple games where it just looked like an epic disaster.
We were sometimes we looked like the 89 Niners. Sometimes we looked like the 08 Lions. And then, you know, it was just who was going to show up. And the right team showed up on Thursday. And I know a lot of people saw it on Twitter. I tweeted out a photo of the cleats dangling from the wire. It's a time of reflection. Like I said, win or lose, I have a lot to think about. And
Wait, so does that mean you're retired?
You're retiring?
Well, I didn't want to make anything official yet, but
think about who initially put that image out there on Twitter, and that person is right back in the mix.
Right, he was right in the news that day, so I was confused whether you were making a statement about softball or whether you were pointing out Marshawn Lynch or what was going on.
A lot of layers there.
A lot of layers.
Because I want to know, you know.
Before you sign on, because your deal's up, right?
I'm looking for more money next year, you know.
The disease of more. Anyway, so it was great. It was a great, great night, and we're going to have a big celebration party at Sessler Manor this upcoming weekend.
Really? Good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we talked about it after the game when we were all together.
You will be invited.
Well, okay.
We have there's literally no confidence that you'll show up. You will be.
What's up, Sully?
What's up, guys? Congrats on the repeat.
Thank you, buddy.
The shield. Kicking tails.
Thanks. Yeah. Let's do some news.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
How about that? A little bit of political news. A lot of stuff going on in the old D.C.
Yes, there is. Timely, Sully.
Hey, I mean, it's like people in and out. It's a revolving door up there.
Oh, all right. Let's start talking about football. Welcome, everyone, that fast-forwarded the first 8 minutes of the show. Now we talk football, and actually we're going to start somewhere special. It seems like we start there a lot these days. Some would say too much. At least one Twitter user pointed that out to me. Let's go to the Ravens' nest. Okay, now. Oh, God, that thing.
That is a gross,
Colin Kaepernick.
It sounds like it's dying.
It's in trouble. Maybe the Ravens are in trouble. But they have not signed Colin Kaepernick yet. Now, we know the story. Flacco's got a back injury, and Ryan Mallett threw 5 interceptions the other day in practice. Could have been 7. Are you kidding me? What are we doing
it's
here?
It's hard to do.
Terrell Suggs openly mocking Mr. Mallett. Guy doesn't even know how to set an iPhone alarm, as we learned from Hard Knocks. He's going to be completing passes regularly for an NFL team? Let's calm down. So the Ravens have a quarterback problem. But they hadn't signed Kaepernick yet, but it's still on the radar. And this is interesting, Greg. This is very interesting. Speaking at a fan forum on Sunday, Ravens president Dick Cass said the team has had direct discussions with Colin Kaepernick, that according to the Baltimore Sun, Kaepernick wants to play. The Ravens are interested. There's no doubt. They've been very open about that. But nothing has been decided. Mike Silver reported on Saturday that Kaepernick would be excited to join the Ravens, but has had zero discussions with the team. Here is team owner, Ravens owner, Steve Bisciotti, who was at that fan forum, and Kaepernick was a hot-button topic, and he was explaining why this is going to be a polarizing decision no matter what.
When I fired Billick 9 years ago, it sounded like 90% of the people in Baltimore wanted me to fire him until I fired him, and then I found that 80% thought I was an idiot. So you got to be careful about the vocal minority. They have a tendency to seem to, you know, sound, be a bigger group than they are. So we're very sensitive to it, and we're monitoring it, and we're still, as Ozzie says, scrimmaging it, and we're trying to figure out what's the right tact, and so pray for us.
Pray for us, Greg. What?
Well, that I think he was trying to be funny with the pray for us.
Oh, that was a bit.
But I don't know, really.
Yeah, because I think there was laughter, and he was taking it lightly. And if you read all the quotes that he says, you know, the weird thing was when he's asked about a fan, about, are you concerned about hurting the brand?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy isn't, Colin Kaepernick hasn't committed any crime. The whole workshopping it with the fans, and Bisciotti saying that he talked to Ray Lewis about it on Sunday morning to get his feel, and Ozzie Newsome says they're scrimmaging it and they're talking, and all of it speaks to me that the Ravens coaching staff has made their decision. They want to sign Colin Kaepernick, because why would you be doing all of this nonsense of, you know, politicking and, you know, surveying, unless you had already basically decided this guy can improve our team? And that's why I think he's going to be signed. So this is, we're just picking up the story midway through, and I think in a week or whenever it is, we're going to be talking about the impact that he makes on that.
I think you're right. I think that enough people inside that organization have talked to Colin Kaepernick and feel that, you know, from the aspect of the person, there is no real blockage to bringing him in. But it shows you, because we all agree that there's not a blackball situation going on here, but it does show you that for some reason, well, for obvious reasons, that the Kaepernick experience, it gives pause to various people within the building beyond the coaching staff, and that other teams have probably had these conversations that we will never know about and decided no.
All we ever hear about is this is a business and teams are making business decisions. Make a decision here and stop just talking about it and asking people if it's going to hurt their feelings and what they think about it. You're supposed to be the decision makers. You're sitting in the most powerful seats.
Right.
Just do it. I mean, you don't see teams doing this with other players who have far worse things that they've done. I mean, you have Joe Banner, who used to be the Eagles GM, talking about how the Eagles didn't ask fans about what they thought right when before they signed Michael Vick after the dogfighting thing and after he got out of prison. Like, this is sort of ridiculous, I think, especially when you have Ryan Mallett, who's having a complete meltdown in practice, and your starting quarterback is hurt. You're signing random camp arms from indoor football leagues. Like, get it together and just sign him.
Isn't the problem that it happened that there were no fan fest?
It was a bad day to have the pre-scheduled fan forum.
Yes. Right.
I mean, he wouldn't have been on record saying any of this stuff, yeah, and they would have gone about their business.
Could have avoided it.
It's true. Right. It's true.
And I think the public waffling, well, it seems a little silly to me as well, but I think maybe it's their internal decision to try to get the temperature of the fan base before making the decision, just in case it's atomic in the other direction and they don't want to deal with it.
And they're overly sensitive if they are, because they just dealt with the Ray Rice thing. I mean, this was an organization that does not want to find themselves ensnared right. in something else that's, you know, bigger than the team.
And that, those are the only situations where ownership gets involved usually, is something like a Ray Rice. And that's why it's weird from the outside conflating these two, domestic violence
yeah.
or serious crimes. And the guy, as Bashotti said, doing something that is his right, nonviolent protesting, something we should be embracing. Bashotti said that too. He said he didn't like it necessarily, and he liked it better when he was kneeling, but we should be embracing it. It's all very strange to me. And I think Harbaugh, when he said, this guy's a great guy, I've spoken to him multiple times, now I kind of read that as that was a little bit of public pressure of kind of pushing it to the ownership, like, hey, I like this guy, I'm going to start putting this out there that it's a good guy.
You know what else Ravens fans won't like is if Joe Flacco misses extended time and Ryan Mallett is throwing five picks in games that matter.
Woo!
It's fair, dog. I mean, that was maybe a little Bunsen burner blowtorch spot right there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe it catches this nest on fire and it just burns to the ground.
With all that being...
oh, God.
Had enough of this nest.
With all this being said, this happens sometimes with veteran quarterbacks where you don't sign them till midway through camp, where you give a long leash to the guy who's been there like Ryan Mallett, and you don't even end up letting Mallett compete in the end, that you're giving him kind of a rope, and when they decide to make the move, maybe it's just Mallett's out, Kaepernick's in.
Let's move on and talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who need a left tackle or really need the people in-house to step up and do the job, because Brandon Albert is retiring. How about that? Strange offseason story here. Albert traded by the Dolphins to the Jaguars. He skipped offseason workouts, wanted a new deal, and instead he releases a statement on Monday saying that he is shutting it down and thanks the Jags and the organization. And, Colleen, this leaves Jacksonville with a pretty huge hole on their offensive line as they try to get things right.
Yeah, they're going to have to really look into their rookie now and hope that he can step up and make that jump. Cam Robinson, thank God that they drafted him so early, because it looked like there was going to be some battles there as to how the whole offensive line was going to shake out. And Doug Marrone obviously wants all of his best blockers on the field. So if Cam Robinson can make that jump, great. But otherwise, yeah, you're going to have a hole there for an offense that needs to take that step behind in front of a quarterback that also had a meltdown the other day.
And think about this. If you remember the draft class and the lead up to it and everything, this was not a good lineman draft class. So
no.
Cam Robinson maybe is one of the first offensive linemen to come off the board. But in a draft class that nobody was in love with, who knows if this guy can play? At least, who knows if he could play immediately? You might have a major issue here. I wouldn't be surprised if they pick up someone before it's the month turns over.
Plus, with Leonard Fournette there, too, I mean, they're going to want to have some really good run blocking in there, so that's going to really make a difference.
The same general manager drafted Luke Jokel, number two overall, to play left tackle. So Cam Robinson, they have high hopes for, but he was starting as a backup behind Albert. He was a 34, you know, overall pick. There's no.
He was a stud at Bama, but he had some shaky moments against Myles Garrett and Barnett as well. So, I mean, the jury's still out on Cam Robinson for sure.
And weird ending for Albert, because this trade with the Dolphins, where the Jaguars end up getting that draft late round draft pick back because of the way this thing played out. But I do recognize occasionally, have you ever had a job, you know, maybe a lower level one that was painful, and you occasionally had that moment you walk into work, you say, it's over, I'm leaving this job. You can feel it. You can just feel it. And like maybe some of these veterans, you're 32, this is not the situation you wanted to be in at this point. You wanted more money, you couldn't get it. You come to work, you're like 3 days into training camp, and you're like, I'm pulling the plug on this thing. I'm going to be on my couch 2 days.
I once quit on my first day of a job. I was supposed to be a segment producer for a like wacky outtakes from esports
perfect fit
show, you know, like where I chose like wacky outtakes from people crashing their motorbikes or whatever, and I felt like hollow inside and decided I was going to quit on my drive there that morning.
I had a job that in Colorado I had to take a bus to. I didn't know it was a temp job. I didn't know what it was till I got there, and it was a mini flashlight factory, and so you had to use this like push down machine to make part of the flashlight. And I thought I was doing well, and it was for terrible pay. I'm like making like, it took me like hours to make like 16 of these things. And like this like 60-year-old like retiree who's doing a part-time job next to me has made like 180. Like I'm getting destroyed by this like 60-something-year-old
woman.
Wow. And I'm thinking, I don't think I'm even good at this. I've got to get out of this job. And I left.
I guess if we're sharing tales of short-term employment.
This is amazing. Okay.
During college, you know, I did one of those come home and get a job situations, and during summer break. And a friend told me, oh, Sloman Shield, the security company, was hiring like cold callers.
Home.
Yeah. Yep. One. And so I went to this, basically walked into this little office where it was just like banks of phones. And I had to cold call like elderly women like living alone and try to trick them into getting security systems. And then also you got, I remember getting told off a couple times because you're calling during dinner. And at the end of the day, I was like, I am never
doing
this ever again.
That sounds awful.
So I never showed up again. And then I called like a week later because I was like, Daddy wants to get paid for that day. And they're like, if you want that, you're going to have to come get it. So I drove there and I knocked on the office of the woman that hired me. And she just like handed me this thing. It was like a $34 check. And I was just like, I don't care. Give me my money.
Wow.
Better get my money.
All right, I'm up. Yeah. I worked at a, I was a secretary at a produce broker in Philadelphia at like
wow.
the yard where they brought in all of the fruits and vegetables and everything. And my boss sat behind me and would scream at the top of his lungs for 8 hours at people on the phone every day. And so I would leave and my shoulders were basically connected to my ears just from stress at that point. So I lasted a week and then I was like, I just didn't show up. But that was it. That was the only time I didn't show up for work.
Well, we survived.
We did it.
We did it. We made it through it. And speaking of the Jaguars, and we said Ryan Mallett had the interception meltdown. And just to tell you how bad the Mallett meltdown was, at one point in the practice, this dispatch from ESPN.com's Jameson Hensley, Terrell Suggs said during the practice, "Hey, Marty," to Marty Morenwig, the offensive coordinator, "tell Mallett to throw to the guys wearing the purple jerseys," which is the offense. Ouch.
I feel like there's always Terrell Suggs stories like this. He would be the last guy you want on the opposing side on your own team if you're
just
like,
to heckle you.
Couldn't find a better guy than Terrell Suggs.
And then, yes, we're talking about how the Jaguars don't have a clear path at left tackle anymore. You have the coach, Doug Marrone, saying he wants to run it every down, which feels like a possible crisis of confidence in the quarterback position. And then Blake Bortles this weekend goes out during a practice and throws 5 picks, including one returned by Telvin Smith for the touchdown. Michael DiRocco of ESPN characterized Bortles' performance as, quote, one of the worst practices of his career. And this is where I must say, to not seem like I'm a part of the hysterical media, it's just practice. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. But guess what? I don't want my quarterback throwing 5 picks and being completely lost at any part, at any point in practice. And you got to be very worried if you're fans of both those teams.
And to your point, you mentioned that Doug Marrone said he wanted to run the ball a ton. Well, they asked him, like, if you had your way in a game, how many times would Blake Bortles throw the ball? And he wasn't kidding. He just said 0.
Oh, wow.
And that was it.
He
0.
Said, yeah, he's like, I'm not kidding. I want to run the ball.
He's like, I want to change the way we play the game. Like, that's what he said. He's like, I just want to run nonstop. Like, that's how you destroy an opponent in, like, old Madden or Tecmo Bowl games, when you just grind out the clock, one drive, an entire quarter.
Remember when the Jets did that with Geno Smith?
Yeah. He threw, like, 7 passes the whole game, and they still lost. By the way, wouldn't you be a little bit, more than a little bit nervous of your Doug Marrone? And they did not give you a real option as a secondary quarterback. And you got Tom Coughlin upstairs looking down at you, who still wants to coach. And I feel like he's being set up to fail just like Todd Bowles in New York is. It's a tough situation, potentially.
The only thing I'd say about Marrone is, like, I know people cannot stand Doug Marrone, but he is, in every interview he's done with the Jaguars, he's a tough dude. Like, I just don't think that he's
a pushover. I don't question that.
I just don't see him as
how are you going to win games without a quarterback if Blake Bortles is going to be the same or worse than he was last season? I don't know.
I mean, this comes after Tom Coughlin was like, yeah, he pretty much fixed his mechanics in the offseason. We all remember that story. And supposedly he worked with all of these quarterback gurus, Adam Dodeau and Tom
Howell. I mean, it is one practice, though.
I already said that.
All right.
I know, but it's fair. I mean, if he came out and threw 7 touchdowns and had a great practice, we wouldn't put We wouldn't put too much into it.
They say today, if you want to really get overly into it, like, he threw 14 straight, made 14 straight completions with no picks in today's practice. So
yeah, who cares?
He's fantastic, and they're flying.
Did that happen? Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, then everything's fine.
Okay.
Everything's
so no, just kidding.
No concerns in Jacksonville. Moving on. You know who does have concerns? The Los Angeles Chargers, who used a first-round pick on wide receiver Mike Williams, and they don't know if they're going to have him at all this year. And this is kind of following up on something that happened last week. The back injury, he got the epidural shot to help repair a herniated disc in the back. Tom Telesco at the time, general manager, was optimistic he could avoid surgery that would end his season. But head coach of the Chargers, Anthony Lynn, said this week that he's not so sure that his rookie will see the field at all. Here's the quote. I'm hopeful that it's not season ending, but who knows? It could be. I don't know. You'd like to have him out there, but fortunately we have depth at the position and we're going to be okay. Greg, this hits at something you were talking about a couple of weeks ago. They have plenty of depth, but if guys keep dropping like flies, it's going to be a lot of trouble. Greg, by the way, coincidentally, I don't even know if it's a coincidence, it's just a fact, was at Chargers camp today.
That's right.
Talking about this
issue. Look at you.
And
hey, it's that absolute nobody, NFL.com's Greg Rosen.
Wow.
Get him. I thought we said to lose this one. We don't like this one as much.
That is overly aggressive.
I don't know. That end kind of helped.
The sound
at
the end helps.
Anyway, you were there, Greg, at Chargers camp. Then you jetted up here like a champion to do the podcast, which we appreciate. Keenan Allen looks great. You tweeted it out.
Keenan Allen looks all the way back. I guess I didn't see him in practice beforehand, but all I know is that he's one of the best route runners in the league, and he was matching up against Casey Hayward, who had a terrific Pro Bowl season last year all day, and so that was a fun matchup, and he got the better of Casey Hayward throughout the day. So I think that is a great sign for Keenan Allen. He was not nearly as open as consistently as Tyrell Williams, who's my guy this year, and I know Mike Williams was drafted in the top 10. They could have used that pick at a different position. They'll certainly welcome him back. He was there in his uniform, but it does not sound like he's going to be remotely ready for the start of the season. Maybe he's put on pup. If they stay healthy, big if, Tyrell Williams is a great number two. I mean, he was the one getting deep today, and Phillip Rivers was throwing the ball deep to him. Travis Benjamin is there making some noise. You got Henry and Gates. It's like they got enough pass catch.
How did Hunter Henry look?
He looked fine. I was mostly watching the wideouts, but the thing that stands out with him is he's running routes against cornerbacks. I mean, he doesn't look like a tight end. He just kind of looks like a big wide receiver.
For this team, and they are always nailed by the injury bug, but like this injury specifically this year came at the right time versus, and I mean, if you're going to lose a wide receiver, this team, they're going to be functional. They can still
they're
score.
They're so deep at the position, like you were just saying, Greg.
If they lost their second pick, Forrest Lamp, or their third pick, Feeney, who's supposed
Dan
to start
Feeney
at centers, like those I think would be more hurtful to their team because those two guys are really the key of helping to fix that offensive line, rookie starters in the middle.
It could be worse, but it is a disaster to draft a guy in your first round pick, a guy you invested all that time studying and getting behind, talking yourself into the pick, believing he would be a major part in the offense, and then him just disappearing for a year. That would be very bad, but they can survive it.
Essentially with an injury he already had.
Right.
That makes obviously they would not have drafted him if they knew this was going to happen.
In other AFC West news, the Broncos will be without Shane Ray for 6 to 8 weeks. He suffered a torn ligament in his wrist on Thursday. Rap Sheet reported that Ray had successful surgery Saturday. He'll likely play with a cast early on to stabilize it. And this is the same Shane Ray who basically made Denver and DeMarcus Ware's mutual decision to move on from each other. It made it a much more palatable situation because this guy looks like a superstar in the making. But now he's another guy. He's going to come back after missing time. Colleen, is he going to be the same guy? Is that risk going to bother him all year? Not good news for Denver.
No, I mean, at least if it was going to happen, at least it happened now. So he can possibly be back for week one or two, optimistically speaking, but he had 8 sacks last season and he was really poised for sort of a breakout with DeMarcus Ware being gone. That sort of paved a path for him to start and really have a nice season. So they have a good defense and it is still really early. I don't think that it's going to be a major lingering problem for them. So hopefully he gets back.
They are light with edge rushers right now.
Yeah.
If you look at the snap counts from anyone on there, outside of Von Miller and was Kasim Edebali. That's the only other players that played snaps on this team last year.
Right, and
they have a bunch of rookies.
Edebali is a guy who didn't stick with the Saints. I mean, I know he's a handsome Hank favorite because he's German-born, and Henry loves those the foreign-born players. What a great story.
Deutschland.
But he didn't stick with the Saints, and now he's starting for a team that was the best outside linebacker group in the league because they not only lost Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett is coming off of surgery and is expected to miss a big chunk of the season with a hip injury. So you suddenly went from Ware, Barrett, and Ray to Edebali. It's not a good trade.
Not great. Not great. Not great. And on the other side of the ball.
I'm a little worried about Vance Joseph here. He's taken over Wade Phillips' defense. We say it's a good defense.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a great, great secondary.
Right.
And it's got Von Miller and Derek Wolfe, but I don't know. The rest of I'm not sure it's great without all these players.
Oh, and P.S., Vance Joseph is a first-year head coach. He's got a lot on his plate to deal with, so he can't just put all his efforts into making sure that defense works. He's got to figure out what's going on offense. And guess what?
What?
Transition number two.
Oh,
he's got some problems on that side of the ball, too.
No!
This is what he said about his two young quarterbacks, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. Did I like what I saw? Not really. Both guys had issues today. I didn't like what I saw today. Honest, they both struggled today. Let's hear a little bit more from the coach.
It was a rough day for the offense today. The defense came out with great intensity, made some big plays in the low red zone, which are huge on, you know, on game day. It's a 10-point swing. We don't want that from our offense, but defensively, it was a good day.
All right, are we concerned about this at all, Mark?
I simply don't have the time to be concerned about these types of things until it really bubbles into something in real games. I mean, I think it's not surprising at all.
Are we hopping in the debunker bunker?
Let's debunk it.
All right, hop in.
What do you have?
How do you get in this place?
We're in there. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I'm just saying, I think with Paxton Lynch, it should be surprise no one that this is a guy still working out the kinks big time. I mean, he's had just not enough on-field testing and play to be looking polished at this point. I like Trevor Siemian from what I saw last year, so I'm also not going to be overly concerned about a bad practice for him. It wasn't seven picks or something.
He's a young quarterback in a new system.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's lost when you make, not that they had a choice, but when they made a coaching change.
You know.
Yeah. And they're going up against a good defense, as we just talked about. That secondary is pretty good. Bradley Roby, I think, intercepted Paxton Lynch, I want to say, twice. So they have a good test out there, at least in the practices. So maybe that will help them.
They couldn't run the ball last year, and their offensive line was a sheer disaster. So both of those things need to change.
I know it's only July 31st, but I'm starting to get a little more excited about week one. And you know which game I got circled? Usually it's a big-time afterthought.
That's 16 of them.
That second doubleheader game, you're tired. You're almost like, I wish we could save this for another time.
Sure.
Not this season. Chargers at Broncos.
Ooh.
For the first doubleheader Monday night. I like that game. I want to go see the Chargers go in there.
I think they're going to put some points on the board.
Yeah, take it out on Vance Joseph.
Chargers 31, Broncos 14.
I'm with you. Exact number.
Wow.
Everybody mark that down. And finally, you know, a lot of teams have quarterback issues. Maybe the Broncos are one of them. One team that does not have quarterback issues, Mark Sessler's Cleveland Browns. Because you know why? Kenny Britt, a guy that, yeah, he can catch the ball, he can run a route. But he's also well-known as one of the great quarterback gurus and minds. He could see something special when he sees it.
Huh?
And Kenny Britt has noticed DeShone Kizer, the Browns' second-round rookie, has really been looking pretty good since OTAs till now. Let's hear what Kenny had to say.
He's growing each day. From OTAs, I could tell a different person. I asked him yesterday, has the offense slowed down for him? He said yes, and I was like, I could tell because he's looking at certain things. He's seen defense before the snap count, and once he lines up, he knows the certain things that he has to do, and he's going to be one of the great ones.
One of the great ones, Mark. This is why you dropped out of the number one spot in the pain rankings.
Oh, it makes it so clear now. And I will say this. I think that Greg and I have been on the same page with the concept of DeShone Kizer having a clear path to be the week one starter unless someone else there really, really excels or he flops. Because I think that would be great for the Browns to discover that this second round pick, they got to see him this year before you get into another quarterback rich draft class. Give him a chance. I don't understand how someone is one of the great ones on July 30th or something. That seems a little rich.
It could be one of the great ones.
One of the great ones.
It is hard, though. There's not much to pick from, but Kizer has received more positive buzz from writers and other people than really outside of the RG3 move the earth thing from Hugh Jackson, I can't think of another quarterback in the last 10, 15 years in Cleveland that's received this kind of buzz other than maybe some Kelly Holcomb type stuff way back in the day.
Wow.
14-year anniversary of the Kelly Holcomb.
Charlie
Tim
Fry
Couch.
Wasn't getting that back in 06.
No.
What is your level of excitement on a 1 to Kozar scale of what Kizer could do? And I don't mean like the excitement that you're willing to share publicly, like on this podcast where you pretend you're not just completely, you know, in love with the Cleveland Browns and obsessed, you know, unhealthily. I mean in your heart, like what is the scale?
1 to 100?
Yeah, in terms of excitement for
12.
No, I
honestly, like you, I am emotionally, and I think it's in a good place, honestly. Like, show something to me. I'm not wasting mental energy on getting excited about this team until they actually do something tangibly in reality. Nope. What is the point?
It feels like a trope.
You always say this.
What is the
point? This is a Sessler trope.
What is the trope?
That's a trope.
Yeah. How many times have I ever even... How many times have I ever even, like, in a side conversation said anything that would suggest any excitement about the Browns season, this offseason?
Well, that's not your way in general.
They have a pretty good tight end.
In the past, I'll start to gush and start to get excited. I simply am
guarded. You're guarded.
Very guarded.
And that makes a lot of sense.
What about the Superman tight end they have now?
Who's having trouble catching the ball in practice?
Yeah.
Oh, is that a new?
Is that a new thing?
That's real.
Oh.
Oh, you mean Seth DeValve? I thought you were talking about the first
one. No.
Seth DeValve.
No.
That's money in the bank.
Yeah, pressure valve.
Money in the bank.
pressure valve.
I mean, that's the one guy. That's probably the one area of true, genuine excitement.
All right, we have so much more news to hit that we have to break out odds and ends. And you know what that means, Connie, front and center.
I know it.
Here we go.
It's time for odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends because it's odds and ends. I kind of almost got it.
Boom.
No, that was good.
Rosie's
nice.
Just shaking his head no, thanks.
Well, we're looking for perfection here. We're looking
you got another chance
perfect
back end.
Tape.
Okay, all right,
you know,
cool.
We were talking
solid.
About the Defiant Ones.
Yeah.
That the HBO documentary. I mean, sometimes... You too. They said they were in there for 256 takes to get the song right with Jimmy.
We should do that.
That's what we're doing.
You're right.
We're not looking for Tiny Box. We're looking for Connie Box. That's the way I look at it. All right, here we go. A little odds and ends.
There's a t-shirt slogan.
Stop. No, I don't want this to be a thing.
You should. Okay, here we go. Let's move on. The Detroit Lions. Who finally started practicing, good for them. But the team announced Sunday that it has signed safety Glover Quinn to a contract extension through the 2019 season. Rap Sheet says 2 years, $13 million with 9.5 guarantees. Good decision there, old Greggy.
Oh, yeah. Been an underrated move by them bringing him in from Houston. It was kind of a guy no one really cared about before he got there.
More extension talk. The Minnesota Vikings, this also coming from Rap Sheet, agreed to terms with cornerback Xavier Rhodes on a 5-year contract extension worth $70 million. Maron. Rappaport added the deal includes $41 million in guarantees along with $12 million signing bonus. The 2013 first round pick is 27, coming off his first Pro Bowl season. He really put the clamps on ODB in week 4, Mark. That's the guy you want to keep in the building. Nice move, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Vikings are telling us what they think about their defense. They re-signed Everson Griffin, and they want to get Anthony Barr a new deal. So they've got if you want to look at the heart and the strength of the Minnesota Vikings, it's their defense, and they're going to pay him.
How about a making the leap pick on right, Dan Hansis? You always making fun of making the leap, Xavier.
I didn't say anything. Xavier, that's a Mark. That's Mark's corner.
Oh, okay.
Why is everything being shoved over on me today? Well, I'm the reason that the Reddit board doesn't have their prize. I didn't even know about that till 20 minutes ago.
No. I was just saying that it's now. Officially,
it's being pushed on my lap.
It's on your lap.
All right, well, let's see where that goes.
And I will work with you on this.
Okay. Well,
oh, that's so nice of you.
Yeah, but you're the ideas guy in this. You're the ideas guy.
Don't expect them to come quickly.
The subreddit, that comes from Mark. the Tampa Bay Bucks, Doug Martin's still on that team, and a lot of people are saying, ooh, this could be a nice bounce back season. Fantasy owners getting excited about it. Maybe we can get the muscle hamster.
Yeah. He likes that nickname at all, though. Mm,
sorry, buddy. Maybe we'll get him on a discount and have a big year. Well, he's got to get some snaps first because the Bucks GM, Jason Light, said that the starting running back gig might not even be there for Doug Martin. He said it might not, according to ESPN's Dan Graziano. Look, he has done everything we've asked him to do, and he looks reminiscent of 2015 when he was playing for his contract. Interesting. He looks the same out there mentally and physically, so he might be one of the guys that needs a carrot. And he's got a pretty big carrot in front of him right now because there's no guarantees that he's going to be here. And he knows that. We've talked to him, and he's good with it. He goes, I understand. Greg, you're putting your hand out. Why?
Well, right in there, he's telegraphing what he's doing. He's putting the carrot out there. I don't really buy into this.
The job is going to be his.
He's just making it clear that, hey, we think you're not going to stay motivated, so let's put this
What's going to happen? Jeremy McNichols is going to take over the starting job? I mean, this is basically – they probably feel like – this is a guy that he has been – light has been gushing over him all offseason. All offseason. He looks the way he used to look. He is a big part of their offense. You're going to tell me now that suddenly he's going to come back? They knew the suspension was coming, and he's going to get replaced by some guy that no one today is even thinking about?
And he's been so inconsistent, too, in his career. I mean, you look at the years that he had in 2012 and 2015 where he went over 1,400 yards both years, and his yards per carry were awesome. And then last year he was again back down to – 2.9 yards per carry. You don't even know what you're going to get with him.
Now it's yards per carrot.
Huh?
Am I right, though?
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about Doug, though, because he said he referred to himself in the third person recently, but in a way that I had never heard, which is he's like, you're going to see the you know, it's going to be like the 2015 Doug or the 2012 Doug. That's what you're going to see this year.
Oh, really?
I was like, wait, what? There are different Dougs every year? This is one of the good years?
That's troubling. That is troubling. The Ravens have added a tight end. The team announced Sunday it signed Larry Donnell. Baltimore waived receiver Tim Patrick in a corresponding move. This is a team that needs some able bodies at that position. Dennis Pitta. You know, he's done. Crockett Gilmore has a potentially serious knee issue. Benjamin Watson and Max Williams on the roster, but both coming off injuries. Larry Donnell on the roster. Colleen, here's the question.
What is it?
I don't understand what I got to do is get a job in this league. I do medical things for Browns or Cleveland.
Who is this?
I lead league in touchdown catches at my position 1 year. I was mad for it. Mad for it.
Do you think that's how he pitched the Ravens when Gary Barnage went?
I'm Gary Barnage. So pick up the phone and call me, Larry Donnell.
I would give him a job.
The arse.
I don't understand.
Gary's been at the Cozy too long. I feel like
they won't sign Kaepernick, and Gary Barnage met with Baltimore, and like they, what's the problem with Gary Barnage if you need a tight end right now? Why Larry Donnell over him?
And Baltimore is hemorrhaging tight ends, so they could have used him.
They've seen what enough. Gary Barnage can do. I mean, it's just surprising they wouldn't take a flyer on that.
Quids in, mate. I'm quids in.
Clearly upset. You have a right to be, Gary.
I've been blackballed.
Well, that's probably true.
I've been blackballed.
Because what? Because you're from across?
Because I'm from Great Britain.
Oh, God.
He was one, you know.
Read between the lines, everybody.
I hope it's not a curse of him coming on the show. You know, people's careers after they come on the show. First Greg Hardy, now Gary Barnage.
All right, don't tell anybody. We had Patrick Peterson on the show. He's in a good place.
Yeah. You're in the clear, don't worry.
Yeah, we're good. Other news, Ben Roethlisberger, unsure if he'll play beyond 2017. He said in an interview with the Pittsburgh Post Gazette on Friday, a familiar refrain from Mr. Roethlisberger, age, Roethlisberger said, then laughed. I guess asked why he might decide to leave. It's 14 years. That's a long time. I think the average life expectancy in the NFL is 3 years, maybe 3.5 now. Blah, 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 blah. Roethlisberger's 35 years old. When will his last season be? Greg, give me the year, and we're going to go around the horn. Greg.
2019.
I will say 2018.
2017 if they win the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Mark.
2018.
Oh, I thought you were going to drop like a 2030 line or something.
I think he's
so
going to try
to. You think it's almost over?
Well, I think he's going to play this season. He's going to his whole sort of act to try to get a lot of drama around this potential retirement. That was a complete flop. It didn't get the attention that he wanted it to. So let's try that again one more time. Whisper about it all season, and it's going to get a little more traction this time. And that's what he wants. He just wants attention.
Let's head over to the Throne of Ease. The Patriots will no longer have Rob Ninkovich in the building. Linebacker announced his retirement today after 11 seasons. He had been discussing this retirement with Belichick for some time, 33 years old. Got a couple of rings. Nice job. It's kind of like a jag on some other teams. Went to the Patriots. Collected a couple of rings. Now he's going to collect a nice pension.
Well, how about this? If you're the New Orleans Saints, where you're so concerned about co-running a functional Pelicans franchise, you had this guy in your roster twice. You can't develop defensive players. He goes to New England. They learn how to develop him. I think he'd quietly very – not even quietly. So always like a productive player for the Patriots for a long time.
And you can see how much he was loved, too, by the team because you had so many teammates and players and coaches that packed his press conference. I think like 30 of them did.
Dan wants nothing to do
with this. What other player is going to have Bill Belichick sitting on the floor of his press conference? It was so crowded. Belichick's on the floor. Says he's never coached a more unselfish player than old Robbie Ninkovich, who was their best defensive lineman a few years ago on a Super Bowl champion team. I mean, that counts a little bit for something. I think has the most fumble recoveries, your forced fumbles of anyone this decade, over 40 sacks.
Mostly luck. Fumble recoveries.
No. Dan's not even listening
I'm
anymore.
Just kidding. No, it's a very nice career.
It's a good career.
I don't,
great career.
Yeah, cool. I'll take it.
It's
shots.
A rare time where you can say he went out on top. There's not many NFL players that go out on top. They go out with a title, and he did it in training camp. So there's all these people there, and there's 40 teammates and Robert Kraft and Belichick. It's like he had about as good a retirement as anyone I can think of.
Beginning of the end for that defense.
And finally, in odds and ends, a retirement that maybe I'm a little more plugged in with. My old man, Keith Hansis, retired today.
Oh,
really?
Congratulations.
Wow.
Amazing.
Started his career in 1974. Did a little math.
Oh, no.
74.
You're still doing the math?
To 2017, 43 years
That's
in
correct.
The workforce.
That's correct.
You kidding me?
Congratulations.
Congratulations,
Keith. Wow.
Wow.
What a role model my dad is.
What's he going to do now?
Well, it's more time to be on the show, right? To provide Jets expertise after their latest loss.
Jets analyst.
Yeah, people have been asking, where's my dad at with the Jets? We'll hear from my dad as the season goes along. We had a nice drive up from the beach in Jersey to Yankee Stadium during my vacation and listened to a little WFAN with Joe Beningo. And we both kind of are on the same page that they just got to get things set up. Don't do anything stupid. Just get the kid in there at quarterback. Let's see what he can do. We're very upset about the David Harris move. We didn't like the Eric Decker move. So we understand eyes are wide open about this Jets team and what a disaster it's going to be. But I can tell you something. My dad, as I just said, worked 43 years. He's been around a time or two. And this isn't the first rebuild that my dad has witnessed, nor is it mine. This one just is a little more painful because it's happening right now.
Are the coworkers at the coal mine going to throw him a going away party?
The party. You want to hear a little bit about what happens in the coal mine? You just go up. You go to the pub down the street.
What's the name of that pub? Do you know?
We call it the Hotel.
Black Lung.
Yeah, the Black Lung Pub is the nickname. You knew that, Mark.
Yeah.
And you toss back a few beers, a pat on the back, handful of peanuts, and a good hard day's work. And then you go home to your wife. That's the reward. No,
she's
no
not
watch.
At the pub.
No gold watch.
Why isn't she
well,
at the pub?
Well, it's rare that anyone makes it out of the coal mines alive. Usually they just die on the job. So that's why there's not a big to do with the retirement.
Anyway, so my dad retired. Congrats, Dad. That's what's happening in the news. And close it out, Connie.
And.
Close
wow.
it out, Connie.
Odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends because it's odds and ends. Bump.
Very nice.
No, that was not the equal of the first one.
First one was probably, but in a lot of what, Greg, some of that negativity you instilled in that critical first thing, I think it threw her off the second time around.
It did.
I think it was good until the bump. You just didn't trust.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know how long it was going to go, and then I was like, I need to finish this out.
Just lay out there. In the business, we call that laying out.
All right.
All right, we're going to do the New Era read next. Actually, here we go. New Era's NFL training collection has a great combination of innovative performance and style with features like UV protection, moisture wicking, and cooling technology. There's no reason you shouldn't make the New Era NFL Training Collection a part of your daily attire. Available at retailers like Lids, NFLShop.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods in your favorite team.
Moisture wicking?
It just wicks it away.
Yeah, why? You don't think that's...
Sounds fine.
And that leads us to one little more bit of news.
Aguayo. Folk. It makes Mayweather McGregor look like a landfill of baby puke.
All right, here we go. Roberto Aguayo, Nick Folk. We all know the story. The two Bucks kickers going at it. One of them will get a job. The other one will leave in disgrace. Folk, the free agent, came over from the Jets. And Aguayo, the second-round pick, who had a terrible first season. I don't know if you were
aware of this going.
Anyway, after playing to a stalemate in the off-season practice portion of the calendar, on Sunday, they both go 4 for 5.
No.
Hit their first 4 kicks. Both missed their 5th kick. Here's what Dirk Cutter had to say, Bucks coach. I had them both 4 out of 5, but I'll be honest. I was watching the alignment up front. We'll get the tape. I thought they both missed their last one.
Aguayo. Folk. The biggest cliffhanger since that one episode of Friends when Rachel went to meet Ross at the airport after his work trip to China and was stunned to see Ross cuddling up to his new squeeze, Julie.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about it now, Colleen.
Okay.
We might even have to push the mailbag to our next episode because I think we need to have the proper amount of time to break down what's going on here.
What is going on here?
Well, you can tell us. You can fill in the blank. So Colleen went to Raiders camp on Saturday. You did the show with who'd you do it with?
Michael Robinson. And
that's
Steve Wojcik. Yep.
And it was an eventful day for you.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Memorable day.
It was my first day up at Raiders camp, my first day hosting Inside Training Camp Live. So that was, it's a 4-hour show. There's a lot going on. And Michael Robinson is friends with Marshawn Lynch. So before the show, he told us, hey, I don't know if we're going to be able to get him or not. You know, he's kind of a wild card, as you guys know. So... let's just kind of play things by ear. So Marshawn
kind of a wild card.
I mean, we all know that. M. Rob didn't say that, but that's sort of what he was getting at. M. Rob didn't get a chance to say what's up to Marshawn before we were on the show. And so Marshawn came over and before we were on the air, there was a lot of things that were said that would not have been able to have been aired on the show.
Oh,
so like we were, just some colorful Marshawn things.
Well, this is a podcast. It's not the same stringent rules as like TV. You can share.
Was it colorfully off color? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. A lot of F-bombs.
Some sailor's language.
Yes. So.
What was the topics? Just general.
Were you
just
part of
like,
the
what's up? Yeah, he was not really. It was just more of like a, hey, what's going on? Are we doing this? Can we do it now? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, so we came back from break and scrapped everything we were going to do. And Marshawn basically just wanted to say what's up to Michael Robinson on the air and not talk about football at all.
Yeah. So let's pick it up from there. We have the actual
good
audio footage and we can kind of Zapruder this. One of the biggest moments of Colleen Fox's career, I think, so far in terms
of
media coverage. In terms of media coverage, if you do a Google search, people were buzzing about this encounter.
Huh. Okay.
So let's start.
This is it, huh?
Big dog.
They're
Big
right
dog.
There.
What's up, man? I'm cooling. What's happening?
Live television.
You can't say that on TV,
come on.
Bro.
They
you can't
said
say
I
that.
Couldn't, but all the ones told me
dog,
to come over
you
here.
You can't
Y'all
curse.
Y'all knew what
you
time
stop.
It was before I came over here.
I know, and I love you for that.
All right. So first of all, what's going on at this point in your mind? And are people going nuts in the earpiece?
No, I hear nothing in my earpiece at all.
They loved it.
And I was like, oh God, is he going to start saying things that he was just saying a minute ago before we were on the air? Well,
now I really want to know what that was.
Yeah, no, it was just, you know, just stuff that people would probably get fired for.
Okay.
So
our president would call it locker room talk.
I guess you're right.
Just some locker room talk.
Yeah. So at this point I'm thinking, oh my God, I have no idea how this is going to go. And Marshawn is basically controlling this whole thing. So he's going to dictate what happens here. And he might just like walk away. I didn't even know if he was going to stay or not.
Okay, let's continue on.
But look though.
What's good, baby?
Talk about being back in Oakland, man. What's up with it?
What have you been doing with yourself?
Right now. I ain't been doing nothing.
I know, but how do you feel about being back in the city running this football? Look, hey, Look, and I just told you, I don't run on the huddle and mess up your huddle and mess up with your job on the field and mess up your job.
Right, you don't.
So I'm trying to ask you a question. The people want to know.
But this is different.
So at this point, Michael Robinson is taking Marshawn Lynch's face and turning it back towards his face and telling him to focus and answer the question. And then that's why he's saying, look, I don't run on the field and mess with your job like you're kind of doing with mine right now, because you were supposed to do this interview and now you're just up here chit-chatting and trying to holler.
And you're now in your mind, I would assume, searching how are you going to insert yourself into the conversation in a way to help get things under control.
Sort not necessarily insert myself in the conversation, but try and maybe get us back on track a little bit here.
Right.
But also, M-Rob and him are boys, and M-Rob sort of is trying to get him back on track himself. So I'm sort of sitting back, but also I have some things in my back pocket ready to go, and I'm just waiting.
Things like this.
I ain't come over here for nothing. I came over here to holler at my dog and his partner.
I love you, man.
What's up?
That's my guy right here.
How's it feel to be back on the team?
Man, that's cool. You going to do the normal thing, right? And ask questions about all the...
No, we can talk about your soul food restaurant that you bought.
Why you ain't tell me you got the soul food?
She dipping in my business.
That's my job.
That ain't even the business yet. See,
no? You too early?
You jumping on? You breaking news.
Bit like a big mouth bass,
no,
baby.
Listen, I like soul food. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, he got a soul food
So that's
place?
Our first date to the soul food.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Money. I'm sorry. You can't.
Yes,
I'm married. Those are notes,
man. That is very nice.
Thank you.
Look at your ring. I should make that clear.
Yes.
So, right at that point,
yes,
he's looking at
your ring. He picked up my hand and was looking at my ring. I don't know what to say about this. It was the most awkward thing that's ever happened to me on live television. And a lot of times these things happen in locker rooms when you're not on television.
Yeah.
And so you guys just got to witness how awkward it actually is. And to be honest, I was kind of like, for a second, I forgot that we were even on television.
Oh my goodness.
I was like just trying to deflect and move on and get him to move off of the subject entirely.
You handled it. Yeah. I would say like, because there was a myriad of reactions that you could decide to have. And like you just handled it about as perfectly as one could hope for. I cannot imagine that it was a very comfortable situation at all.
No.
All right. Let's hear the rest of it.
So we will not be dating.
No.
Or going on a date to the soul food restaurant.
Hey, but you could come. Can I ask you one real question?
I'm going to charge you a little extra, though, just because. I'm going to charge him a little bit more, too, though.
Can I ask you one real question?
What's up, big dog?
What you want to give back to this community, man?
That's like in case of emergency, ask about the community.
Explain
it's life, man. Okay. You know, we can sit here and you know
John was like, I can't believe he's going to charge us extra.
That ain't for everybody.
I know, we can't chop it up like
that. So that's what I'm saying. But is everybody good, though? You good?
We're good.
You good?
We're good that you're here.
I'm going to let you go ahead and do your thing, though, player.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, nice to meet you, too. All right.
Oh, my God.
We'll see you later.
This is
you.
I can't listen to it.
Again, you handled that very well. What was your husband, John Gonzalez, what was his reaction to...
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Marshawn Lynch also didn't know who John Gonzalez is. But John was like, wait a minute, he's going to charge us extra to go to his restaurant now?
That's his primary concern coming out of this.
Yes.
It was a chance
to drop in a Who Is John Gonzalez drop if they were really on top of things in the production studio.
That's true,
amazing.
Yeah, a little bit of a missed opportunity, Truck. I think First of all, I will say this. When this happened, we were texting about it, and, you know, I think it was like kind of like the Big Brother thing. So we were all kind of like, wait, is he being not cool with Colleen? But I think, like, you had the right, like outlook on it, and you just dealt with it very well. Much better than I would. I also, Gonzo.
Why? How? What would you have done?
I would have said, how dare you, and slapped him in the face. Like a white glove on, a white satin glove. And Gonzo has a good attitude about it, too, because I feel like I maybe would have been filled with some type of rage that I wouldn't be able to process naturally. But Gonzo is a laid-back dude. Philadelphia guy that's very – he's taken to Southern California.
Right.
He's rolled with it as well.
He, like all of us, has flaws, and one of those is not confidence. Like, he has a ton of confidence, and things like that does not bother
him. Was he watching it live?
Yeah. Yep, he was. And then all of a sudden, I had my phone next to me on the chair, and it just kept buzzing and buzzing.
I was wondering if you were thinking after that, I don't want attention for this. I don't want attention for someone hitting on me on live TV.
I didn't go into my mentions or anything. I just that. My mentions at that point were dead, and I had to just move on.
What was helpful to you was that NFL Network and the NFL's Twitter account went nuts retweeting the entire episode.
It's gold.
Yeah.
It's like there's another nuance or element to this.
I know. Yeah, it was very awkward.
Well, you're a pro.
It was a great first day. Really ripped the Band-Aid off there.
I mean, unless this happens for every single time you go out to camp, I think that you've already basically hit the biggest type of challenge is how to handle a live situation.
Well, that would be wonderful if that was the biggest challenge. I'll be at Chargers tomorrow and Rams the next day.
Only one Marshawn Lynch. So
what if he keeps showing up?
I know. Well, I'm going back up to Raiders camp next week, and I'm going to be with Michael Robinson again, and I'm really kind of worried about that.
You should wear like a brown wig with like big glasses.
I'm just going to wear a bag. It's fine.
All right. Well, there you go. A nice breakdown of quite an encounter, Colleen.
Yes.
And on our next show, Wednesday, we will finally get deeper into the Mecole Grimes situation.
I don't believe I'll be here on Wednesday.
Well,
it's a perfect
opportunity.
We're going to be at camp together.
That's right.
Look at that. So, Greg, I want you to look out for Colleen in case somebody starts to get a little too frisky as well.
Greg's going to be my muscle.
Yeah. If you want someone next to you to ward off any hulking men, it's me. Watch out.
We will be back on Wednesday. Wednesday is our video show, of course, so you can check it out at nfl.com/ATN video. Yes, three shows this week, so very exciting. And that's it. Anything else to say? I think that's it.
Feels like the show has been
good
going
stuff.
On for about 114 minutes.
If we don't get off the air, we're going to get in that range. So, so we'll be back on Wednesday and then again on Friday. And who knows, on Wednesday, Mark might have the subreddit 6,000th listener plan all devised by then. Very exciting.
Totally fatal move by you. I'm not going to lift a finger on this front. I have too many other things to deal with.
All right. Fair enough.
That's going to be a great prize.
Sorry, guys. All right. This is Dan Hansen signing off for the very busy Quiet Storm. Connie Fox, not Tiny Fox, the old boss. And Sully behind the glass. Till Wednesday.